Colossians chapter number 3. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We are grateful and thankful for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, it's so humbling to think and that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, I do not know where everyone's at spiritually or emotionally today, Lord, but you do. I ask that you'd get me out of the way and teach your people and speak to their hearts to conform them to your image. This is not my church, it's your church. They're not my people, they're your people. And Lord, I ask that you would lead, guide, and direct each individual in what they're going through in their life to comfort and to guide them in all truth. But all of us together, Lord, the end result is that we conform to your image. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians 3, verse number 1. If you then were raised with Christ, desire those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death the parts of your earthly nature, sexual immorality, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. You also once walked in these when you lived in them. But now you must also put away all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old nature with its deeds, and have embraced the new nature which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him who created it. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So embrace as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a spirit of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, beareth one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a quarrel against anyone, even as Christ forgave you, so ye must do. And above all these things, embrace love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God, to which also you are called in one body, rule in your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's interesting here in Colossians. We have a book written, Paul being imprisoned here and writing back to the church at Colossae, which he didn't start. What happened was Colossae is about 100 miles east of Ephesus. And so when Paul went through Ephesus and people got saved there, a group of people that got saved went back to their home at Colossae and spread the gospel. Epaphras being one of them, and seeing their area change with the gospel of Christ to where now there's a group of believers there. Paul's excited. So Paul is writing back to a group he doesn't even know, and he goes through some prayer requests for them. And a prayer request he has chapter 1, verse number 10, he says, that you may walk in all manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to all, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here is a prayer request. I won't go into all the prayer requests for sake of time, but that increasing in the knowledge of God is a prayer request that Paul is praying in prison for these believers here at Colossae. What happened was is a group of people came in, and this is what false teachers do. The Lord does all the work through godly men. They get things established, and then a false teacher just comes in and picks off the hard work that was done during this time. They're teaching Gnosticism and different New Age stuff, if you will, and it's kind of leading some other believers astray. Now they're confused. Now remember, at the time, as the gospel is spreading, they don't have any letters to look to say, hey, let's look at this right now. They don't have a Bible, if you will. So they're just going off of the teaching that they have and that they can remember. So they are really relying on God to give them the truth to teach people at that time where they're at. Now, can you imagine that? I personally don't know what that's like. I rely on the Word of God constantly. I have to go to the Bible all the time. Now, since I've read it, studied it, you can say, hey, well, it says here, it says in Colossians 1, or it says in Corinthians 2, you can do that. But it's because I have been trained to look and study and go from memory that way. They didn't have that. That's always kind of intrigued me. The little amount of truth that they had, what was accomplished for God and His kingdom? Amen. Yeah, that's good. The little amount of knowledge that they had, they were able to accomplish so much. Seems like sometimes the more and more we know, and the more and more we think we know, the more problems we cause. Right? The more experts that get together, the more they just confuse the whole thing. The basics that Paul was teaching and the basics that the people at Ephesus took when they went back to Colossae was, number one, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the foundation for salvation. That was the change, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul is going to do a great job here. When he's addressing a group of people he's never met, he doesn't know, he still knows with the Holy Spirit how to write to them to meet their needs where they're at. He says, listen, verse 1, if you are raised with Christ, desire those things which are above. So in order for a change of life to happen, in order for us to go from the basics of salvation, Hebrews tells us, I believe Paul wrote that, hey, you have got to slowly move on from the foundation of Christ in you. You have got to grow, move forward from the salvation of Jesus Christ. You've got to start going forward now. Yes, that's our foundation. Yes, that's the great truth. And from that is the very foundation of our belief system. But you've got to start moving on. You've got to start growing a little bit. What you had last year isn't good enough. You have constantly got to be growing. And the first thing that has to happen is, do I desire to grow? Do I desire that? I said in Sunday school, you know, when I'm working with people, and it can get frustrating if I allow it, when someone who says they know the truth and proclaim the truth, and they've done these things for God for the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, if I have to sales pitch and coerce them into realizing, well, you need God. Well, you need the Bible. Well, you need the local assembly. I mean, there's scripture upon scripture that tells us, and if you say that you're this mature Christian, you ought to know this. But somewhere, you can point it back to their desires started fading away. And usually a desire starts to fade away when a couple things happen. Number one, when I think I don't need it. I don't need it. And number two, when a traumatic experience happens, when something happens to me where my vision and value and system of God changes. Something happened that was out of my control. And I look to God and I go, God, why? Or how come? Or how could you? And I don't blame them sometimes. As an immature Christian, a baby in Christ, no matter how old you are, doesn't matter how much service you've done for God, if your walk, personal walk with the Lord is not strong, they address it being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. When every life circumstance comes, you're in, you're out, you're up, you're down. It's just a baby Christian. Or an unsaved person. You can't expect an unsaved person that godly, right? They can't. That desire has to be there. I desire to want to know my Savior. I desire. Now, I was talking to a group of believers who sometimes their desires can kind of go astray, right? My desire. My desire can be for my education and my career. My desire can be for my family and my kids. My desire can be for... These are all good things, correct? Satan is very wise. He's not using the blatant sinful things usually. He's using the things that just get you off a little bit from Christ. There are good things that become ungodly when they take precedence over what the great things are. Write that down. That's pretty good. Whoa. I'll forget that. That's where it becomes ungodly. It's going above what I know is best. And now I'm just off a little bit on something good to where as long as I keep going this way, I'm going further and further away from the straight line. My desire. Is it my desire to personally walk with my Savior, to know Him intimately, to want to conform to His image, to be obedient when I see a script that says, hey, this is where you're wrong, and thank God this is how you can get it right. Praise the Lord, I'm on my knees, let's do it, God. Or do I go, but that would affect fill in the blank. If I do what this says, then that means this view of me might happen. Or this might be taken away from me. Or fill in the blank. Now at Colossae, can you see in the context of these people on their day-to-day lives, even today in America, you can apply it, but try and stick to the context first. A group of people given to every god or goddess or truth. A group of people that is used to feeding the flesh and doing my desire and doing what benefits me. So when this is coming at them in a letter, can you imagine the kind of steps they take back going, oh man. But Paul is so open to the Holy Spirit and his leading when he's writing, he sets it up so well. Desire. Desire number one. Now, God is very good at how to address his people or unsaved people, right? There are times in the Gospels, there in the Old Testament, when Christ is, you know, alive on the earth and he's, you know, speaking to people and he just slams them, right? You're like, dang, if I said that, people would say I was judgmental and critical and harsh and, you know, hateful. But God, when you do it, it's okay. And there are sections where he's talking to a lady, and he's just having this warm conversation with her. At the end of it, he says, hey, you know what? Go and sin no more. Now, the same sin is there. Sin is sin. But how he addresses it, masterful. Of course, he's the great physician. He's God Almighty. He knows how to do that. And I just love it when people are open to God's leading, and they have discernment, and the same truth comes out. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And the Holy Spirit just goes, boom, and smacks people in the chest. And you said it so kind and graceful, but yet the power of God was behind to where people take a step back. Desire. If that desire is not there, the rest cannot happen. It will not happen. My desire. Therefore, I'm sorry, if you then were raised with Christ, desire those things or set your affections on things above. Where Christ sits at the right hand of God, set your affections on things above and not on things of earth. That word affection there in the Greek means to exercise the mind, to entertain. To exercise the mind, to entertain, to have a statement, to be interested in oneself. So I'm going to entertain my mind on heavenly things. He's telling the people at Colossae, listen, you got a desire at number one. Number two, your head, your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. My brain is my heart, but not my pumping heart. My heart, it's up here. The will behind what I'm living for is my heart. Set your affection on things above. My mind needs to entertain heavenly things. That makes sense? My mind needs to entertain heavenly things. Entertainment is good. It's what is entertaining me can be bad. What's consuming my mind? That's your heart. Your heart is what drives you. What are you living for? Because from your heart, your will, which is your actions, take place. Not you think. Sometimes you know what to do, but you ain't doing it. Right? Because your will is saying, don't do it. You want to. You know to. But the dopamine is saying, don't do it. There's no reward for you. It's because my mind's not on heavenly things. Dopamine's a chemical in your brain. That's your reward system, right? Happens all the time. When you eat a piece of cake, your brain goes, bing, remember that. That's good. Do it again. When my affections are on heavenly things, my dopamine is going to say, that was good. Do it again. Because your Father in heaven is pleased that your thought process is focused on me. Well, I'm not saying don't get involved in things of the earth. Trust me, I'd be a hypocrite. I coach football. I coach soccer, baseball, right? I have a wife and kids that we go do things together. Absolutely. I'm not saying it. But what am I entertaining up here? Your physical life lives out, whether you like it or not. You can't help it. Your heart lives out what you're focused on. The thoughts that you entertain. You got to desire it. And then you got to entertain. I got to set my affection on things above. And then he gives a picture on who's up there. Where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Authority. Authority. Not pastor authority. Godly authority. So as I desire, my mind is entertaining heavenly things where Christ is. The authority figures are there. Now we know Holy Spirit's in us, right? Our spirit, it bears with us with His Spirit that we are His. We're children of God. We're standing in a position of being saved. We're sealed in the day of redemption. I get that. But He's showing you when your heart is on heavenly things, my mind is on godly things and Christly things, and Christ is the head of the church. That's why my mind is on authority. I want to be obedient. I'm not looking for ways to be disobedient. I want to obey. I desire it. When I see it and I get convicted, I don't go, oh man, I'm convicted. I don't want to do that. Conviction prompts you to confess to be that much more like Christ. Someone who doesn't desire and has an affection on heavenly things, when conviction sets in, it pushes them away. Well, that would affect my flesh. That would affect my desires. That would affect what I'm focused on and what I'm living for. I can't do that. Now, an unsaved person, I get it. He's addressing saved people. Now, my goal for this year is to be way different than last year. I want to be more like Christ. That much more. I want that much more of an imagery of Christ in me. When people see me, I don't want them to see a funny guy or a cool dude or a great coach. I want them to see, wow, that guy's like Jesus. I have no idea who Jesus even is, but if I had a picture of what God looked like, it's like that. I want to be there. Ephesians chapter 4 is the best chapter on what a mature, godly church looks like. That's where I want to be. That's what I want for us. Conforming to Christ's image. You cannot conform to Christ's image unless you're born again. And that's why even the gospel out is so prevalent. You can't change someone's behavior unless the Holy Spirit's in them. Someone say amen. I don't care what psychology classes you take. Changing someone's behavior isn't going to work. Their natural state is dead. They don't have God in them. They're at enmity with Christ. And so when I say, hey, I'm the pastor of the Way Church. The Way Church? What is that? And I'm glad you asked. Buckle up. We believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. Oh, really? There's a problem. I start with Adam and Eve and how sin came into the world. Romans chapter 5, how death became upon all men. Romans 3, how you have to be born again. Galatians says you are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, how are they going to hear about Jesus? Unless they be told, unless they be sent. And then from there we can say, okay, now that you're saved, here's what God desires for you. Ephesians 1 tells us that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We need to have a mindset, a desire, and we start entertaining heavenly things. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. We'll go there now. All right, moving on down here. Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with him in glory. All right, so therefore, you see the word therefore? So what was just said above this, so above what was just happening, what I just said now, therefore, so moving forward, therefore put to death the parts of your earthly nature. It's dead, right? When you are alive in Christ, your Adamic self dies and no longer has power. A lot of times we focus on, you know, when we get saved, our sins are forgiven, absolutely. And the power of committing a sin is forgiven also. I don't have to sin. I will it. I choose to. And as I grow in Christ, I sin less and less and less, correct? Because I'm in tune with God. I have discernment. I know what to do. As a baby in Christ, we see a lot of sinning happening, don't we? That's going to happen, right? But as we grow, that shouldn't be happening. Therefore, our choice. Here's a Bible command. Put to death those parts of your earthly nature, sexual immorality, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which, by the way, is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. So those that are unsaved, this is what you people do when they're born in this world. They naturally commit these sins, right? It's natural to them. They don't have God in them. They're going to do these on their own. Romans 1 and 2, mankind left to himself does ungodly things. Someone say amen. It's going to happen. They can't get around it, right? They knew God, yet they didn't want to worship him as God. Mankind knows about God. They have chosen over the years to deny him. And therefore, we see what we see. They can't help it. It's one thing man can't help. But then Christ comes in. Verse 7, you also once walked in them when you lived in them. But now, so from a position of being saved, but now you must also put away all these. So they're like, oh, okay, that'll be easy. Absolutely, I don't want to do those sins. Right? Yeah, okay, yeah, that's Paul. Perfect. Yeah, we got that thing down. Keep going. But also, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old nature with its deeds, and have embraced or put on the new nature, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him who created it. So here's what we do. Do I desire to put on? Do I desire to want to grow in my new nature, my new life? Corinthians tells us that we are new creatures in Christ. Behold, old things have passed away, but all things have come new. That word renovate or renew, that word renew means to renovate. What it means is a total clearing out. That's not it. You can't just clear out things. You have to replace it. What is the key that needs to be replaced with? So my desire's there. My thoughts are being entertained. Now I need to renovate. Renovate is taking it all out now. Now put away these things. It is a command that desires a response, right? The response is there. Put away. Therefore, do away with. Is he saying when you get time? or when you think about it, or when the thought comes up. No. He's writing to young believers who he hasn't even met yet, and he's telling them what to do. I love it. I love it when God lays out in Scripture for us a systematic approach that's easy to follow. Right? Helps me out. Renovate. Renew. You got to clear it all out now. Here is where the rubber meets the road. This is where I could start with Chris and go all the way around and then with John on it's the clearing out process. It's the renovating, right? It's the renewing. Dying to myself, dying to my natural desires, dying to what I hold to be true and valuable. Here's what happens. When someone gets saved, it is the very best thing that will ever happen to them. Ever. Nothing even comes close to being born again. But the thought process is still there. I don't believe you still have the old nature, but the programming of the mind is still there. You now have a new nature in Christ. Peter says you have the nature of God in you. So now it's taking what's in you and reprogramming. Here's the process. The best way to reprogram is to have knowledge of Christ. You ever see people trying to go on a diet like that's so extreme, right? It's like, I'm going to stop all this. Yeah, you're going to crash, you're going to burn, you're going to quit. There's no discernment there, right? There's no like, hey, baby steps. Let's just do one thing, right? It's we're going to do all of this. It's not going to, never works. Your brain's not wired that way, okay? To renovate, the Lord is so awesome how he does this. I fill up with the knowledge of Christ, and as I get the knowledge of Christ, I can then now take out what is bad. I don't take out what's bad to where it's empty and take what's good and put it in there. It's like this. I bring in the good, and the empty goes out. That makes sense? This is where we got to be patient with new believers, right? Even in ourselves. We have got to be patient working with young Christians. Don't so much focus on what not to do in the beginning. Focus on, hey, here's who you are in Christ. Let's get to know who God is. Let's get our desire and our affection there. Let's get the truth in you, and let's watch the negative things come out, right? What a wise approach. Let's bring in good. Let the Holy Spirit wrestle that in you to where now the bad can go out. Is that making sense what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay. I have a lot of thinking looks on their face, so I'm just making sure that it makes sense in my head, but when I want to say it, I want to make sure that it's coming out clearly. Bring in the new. This is who you are in Christ. Purpose now is to glorify him. You have significance. You have purpose. You have meaning in Christ. Don't look at your parents. Don't look at your job. Don't look at your husband or your wife. You look at you and God. And let the Word of God change you to be more like him. And everything else is a byproduct. I don't work for God. I allow God to work through me. See the difference there? It's so subtle, yet so 180 opposite. Well, I'm not saying don't do what God wants you to do. What I'm saying is as I know what to do, it takes less frustration off on, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And that sounds like I can't even do it. Let's just figure out who God even is. Set your desire on knowing God. Entertain heavenly thoughts. Let's get the truth of God in you and watch the negative things come out. I don't want to sin. Why? Because my thought, my affection is up there in heaven on who is in me. That's why. I am being entertained with heavenly things. Now, are there times when temptations come? and I don't sin, or temptations come when I do sin? Absolutely. Committing an act of sin is 1 John 1:9. I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. They cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But I'm over here. I'm maturing. I'm growing. How do I do that? You cannot rely on the knowledge of Christ you had a year ago. You cannot do that. It doesn't work that way. You can't rely on what you used to do or used to know. You have got to keep learning and keep learning and keep learning. You got to know more. You got to know more. You got to know more. And when I say no, most of that no is knowledge that only comes by experience. You have got to experience it. That's the Greek definition of knowledge. Truth that's only learned by experiencing it. You don't study your Bible in your house to do nothing with it outside of your home. When you come in here, you have got to get the truth that you studied out, and you got to give it to everybody else in here, right? We talk for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. We're allowing our gifts to be used to edify the body, Ephesians 4. You don't come, sing a few songs, listen to a teacher, then go away and go, man, that was a good church service. The body is designed where everyone has a purpose and meaning, and to use it to build it up. I'm not the only one that's going to be used to help everybody. Everyone's going to be used to help everyone. That's God's design. Yeah, I'm the shepherd. I get that. But gifts are given to all to be used to encourage and build up everyone. So if you aren't on your own, have a desire, affection on things above, renewing, learning about Christ, you can't come in here properly to help the body out. It won't happen. I need you to do what's right, to live godly. Everyone needs everyone in here to do what's right between them and God. That's where it starts. Lord, I'm doing this because I want to be obedient to you. And whatever comes is going to come. Use me to edify and encourage and lift up your body to conform us all into your image as a body, as you as the head. How cool that we get to all partake in that. How humbling. What a privilege. That when I walk into a local assembly, I have something to offer. Not because it's me, because it's Christ in me that wants to get that thing out and to help everybody. So cool. So basic. But yet, just getting off a little bit, my desire, because of my view of God, I think I've reached it, or I've gotten lazy in my mind, or a traumatic experience happened, and I'm blaming God for it. Hey, if you need help with that, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about that stuff. I can see why. I understand. I've been there myself. It's not God's fault. God actually gives you the power to see that victory and what happened. We have three enemies, right? World, flesh, and devil. They're going to go through it. What God allows and what God does are two different things. So where am I at this year? Is my desire to set my thoughts on heavenly things? Do I want to entertain my thoughts on things of heaven? That's where God is and Christ sitting next to him. Do I want to renew and renovate? Allow truth to come in as I grow in Christ and have it actually change me and take out the old. The old things in me last year, I do not want the old things in me this year. Amen. I'm preaching to myself. The old things in me last year, by God's grace, as I learn, I want those things to be gone this year. I want to be that much intimate and closer to Him. Because at the end of the day, He is worthy. He is worth it all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, what an awesome truth here in Colossians 3. Lord, I'm just thankful for your leading and direction on each of our individual lives. Lord, I believe you answered my prayer for all of us in here. on reaching your children where they're at, and their hearts are being stirred by you. Whatever it is. And Lord, when we walk out of here, I want my desire, and what I want is your children to follow you and your truth. And just have that close relationship with you that is so wonderful and amazing, Lord. It just brings joy to your heart. Lord, give us courage and wisdom as we move forward with decisions that we're making. I believe that there are many decisions that are going to be made this morning. It might be tough, but you will see us through it. Lord, thank you again for those that have come. I pray that they would walk out on courage and lift it up to be more like you. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.